Accountants Daily 30 Under 30 Finalist Showcase. Unveiling and shining a spotlight on this year's finalists.
Hi everyone, it's Jotham Leanne, editor of Accountants Daily. Our annual 30 Under 30 Awards is fast approaching, and today I'm excited to showcase a few of our finalists on this special episode of Accountants Daily Insider. I'm also very pleased to announce that our principal partner for this year's award is MYOB, and joining me as co-host for today's show is Caroline Wright, Head of Product at MYOB. Welcome, Caroline. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
We also have two of our finalists from the always hotly contested tax and compliance category with us today. First up, we have Ellie Jacobs from Pitcher Partners. Thanks for joining us, Ellie.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for the invitation.
And we also have Shija Kumar from Kulada Business Accounting. Glad you can join us today, Shija.
Thanks, Jotham.
Now, Caroline, just to kick things off, I think it goes without saying that it's been quite an eventful year for all the wrong reasons. But I think it's really important, especially at the end of the year, to take stock of the wonderful work that the accounting profession has really put in this year and to, I guess, celebrate your achievements. But from your point of view, what do you think the 30 Under 30 Awards mean for MYOB, and why have you chosen to support this program this year?
Well, MYOB think this is a fantastic event. We're really happy to be involved. We're heavily connected, as you know, to the accounting community, and we see this as a way of supporting the next generation of leaders. Especially this year, it's a great opportunity to give back to the community because, as you say, it's been such an unusual year, I would say.
Yes.
And look, we also like the idea of championing high performance. So, as I said, really excited to be involved with this event, and I must say I'm excited to see Ellie there because I started my career at Pitcher Partners. So not that I'm a favourite or anything, but excellent. Sure.
There you go. Now, Ellie and Shija, you've both been on the front lines this year, especially from a tax and compliance perspective. How has it been for you personally, and how do you think you've stood out from the crowd this year? Ellie, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, 2020 is definitely a year to forget. But at the same time, you know, world goes on, business goes on, and, you know, we just have to adapt and change accordingly. And I think there's like a couple factors that go into this. And I think you got to put your head on straight and really got to start thinking about beyond yourself and beyond what affects your feeling and into the client's shoes and, you know, and staff members in particular. I think, you know, Pitch Partners, we're all about making business personal. So I think the first step I always take is, you know, making sure our clients are okay. So, you know, as much as, you know, I think tax is very important and tax is everything and, you know, CAs run the world and all that kind of stuff. I think the reality is, you know, people's health and well-being is the most important thing for me. So for me, the starting point is making sure we're keeping that rapport up with our clients, making sure that, you know, we're cutting out the noise from the, you know, the news, the media, all these announcements and all these changes and going, this is what's relevant to you. You know, give them a real source of stable information and reliable information and walk them through this process. You know, I had one of my clients actually feedback was he said, you know, he was sitting around at dinner and everyone was complaining that JobKeeper is so tough and cash flow booster. And he just goes to me, he's like, I found the easiest thing in the world. You told me what to do and I did it. So I think that's the key, you know, to making this work. It's just about really being able to take all that information and noise around and give the clients what they need and walk them through that. Because that's what our job is, you know?
Yeah, it's a relationship at the end of the day, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And I think accountancy has to move towards that. It's not less transactional and more about trust and relationship. So, you know, I think that number one message has to be put out. And I think COVID, you know, just put to the forefront of our minds. While we always try to achieve that, it's something that's all of a sudden forced us into that. So I don't want to say there's any silver lining of COVID, but I definitely think that's an adjustment that had to be made.
Yeah, sure. And what about you, Shija? What have you done differently this year?
This year, as Ellie said, like, you know, this year has been really daunting for many reasons. Like, you know, we had a drought, then like came COVID, like after 2 months of 2020 came COVID. And like, I mean, it is like a one of a kind of thing, right? It hasn't happened before, like, something new. So, I mean, clients were worried. They didn't know what to do, especially clients in the retail, you know, hospitality, tourism. We service a lot of clients in that particular area. And they were really panicked. They didn't know what to do, what will happen to their business. They didn't know, would they survive this pandemic? And they were worried. So we were there just to make sure, like, you know, we'll get you guys through this. We are there to support you. And we are there to offer the support that you want at the right time. So that's what I think it was challenging for us as accounting professionals and for the client themselves. Like, you know, it's a new experience for everyone.
Indeed. So, and Caroline, did you want to ask your question there?
Yeah, so this is one for both of you, I think. But what are some of the differences, I suppose, that you're seeing this year? What are some of the trends and opportunities? Because you mentioned that this year is all about looking after your customer, but how have you had to adapt to do that differently? Some of the challenges that you've faced, obviously, throughout this period.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of, you know, trends, challenges, opportunities, you'll see some familiar faces regardless of COVID or not. I think advancement in technology and being MYB, I think, you know, you're at the forefront of that. But, you know, I think there's, in the context also of the fact that, you know, less face time, less people coming in, we've had to just really adapt with technology. And, you know, I think accountants are creatures of habit. We don't like change. So it's really being about being, a voice of change and adaptability and really showing the positive impacts of all these changes we wish to implement. We've put together, you know, quite a few software changes involved in this process, and we've moved to, particularly in the high net worth space, we've done some BGL and some IPS additions. And I think what's really, really impressive, I guess, with that is that we'd be able to keep a steady progress throughout this COVID stage. And what COVID has allowed us to do is that I think clients also know that the change has to happen. So we'll be able to get things done. And I think it's just really, there's that stage of where everyone knows something has to shift, and it has allowed us to really progress in this area. So things that used to be on the, you know, back burner have really come to the forefront of that. So I think advancement in technology, it can't be ignored ever. I mean, I think we really always have to stay up to date in that area and grow from there. Yeah, further on that, then I think, you know, I think clients are always time poor, mm-hmm. and I think that's just growing more and more. And so I think that's another opportunity for us to really look at it more than just, you know, we're filling out a tax return, but really a holistic view of taking care of all their needs and making their life as easy as possible. So yeah, I think those are some of the real trends opportunities. In regards to the challenges, I think really it's more of an internal challenge. And I think that the training piece and the graduates are really the ones that are going to suffer through this COVID period. And yeah, it's just the reality is, you know, with less people in the office, there's less face time, less training, less opportunities out there. So, you know, I definitely feel for the graduates coming through. And I think, I'm taking upon myself as well to really get that training piece up there, because I think that's the real, as an internal perspective, I think graduates and young people are really going to be at the biggest loss with this COVID effect.
Do you see people coming back into the office when you're allowed to, or do you think that will change? New way of working?
Yeah, great question. So personally, I have two beautiful kids at home, which from a work perspective is not the easiest thing. So I'm one that tends to like to come in. And so our firm's been really good with, you know, implementing the right requirements and making it comfortable once we're in the office. Getting to the office is another story, public transport and whatnot. But once we're in the office, it's a pretty safe environment. So at the moment, we're recommended to come in 2 to 3 days, and we're kind of capped, as I'm sure most firms are. But I definitely see, you know, in January and moving on, coming into a 4-day kind of situation. Now, some of the challenges are some people are just getting comfortable at home, the travel time, the public transport. So, you know, I think there will be a little bit of resistance there, and just the fact that people are getting used to flexibility. But I really think a lot's lost when, you know, we're not seeing as many faces in the office. We're not getting that face time. You're not getting that attention. And so from an internal perspective, I think it's really important to get that environment growing, that training piece, seeing people, learning from people, modeling off them. From an external point of view, from a client facing, I still think we're producing great work from working from home. I think efficiency, you know, may take a slight hit, but I think overall, you know, the product we're producing is just as good and high quality and stuff like that. So from that perspective, you know, I think it's fine, but I would like to see people come in, and again, to bring back in those juniors, to really just let them have a proper experience, to be frank. Yeah.
You definitely lose that sort of face-to-face aspect, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
What about you, Shija? What are some trends and opportunities you're seeing at the moment?
See, I would say this year, cloud accounting, it has been of a significant importance. Like, you know, people were using desktop versions before, like, you know, they were using Excel. But this year, due to COVID and, like, you know, to achieve a lot of the cash flow boost and JKP, STP, like single touch payroll, it was mandatory. Like, it is mandatory. So MYOB Zero, QuickBooks, all these softwares has made our lives easier. Like, you know, also clients were happy to move to software like, you know, cloud accounting. So I would say that is a major trend and opportunities. From a perspective, I mean, I personally know, like, you know, almost 50 to 100 clients, like small SMEs, they have converted to MYOB and QuickBooks before they were using it and all that. So we service a lot of small business clients. So that's a good thing. Before, they were reluctant to move to cloud accounting because now there is a need Now they have agreed to move to MYOB or QuickBooks or Xero. So that is a good thing that has happened due to COVID, which is the trends and opportunity. And people have understood that, like, you know, that is the future. They need it. So that's really good. And in terms of challenge, like, you know, ever-changing tax laws is a challenge, like educating the client, making them understand what is happening. So that's a major challenge. Like, you know, with the JKP, many rules, I mean, many changes were there. Like, so a client has asked me today, I've told them this is the rule today. And, you know, tomorrow the legislation will change. And if I'm going to say something else to the client, they will ask, you told me something else yesterday and you're saying me something else today. So I would say that has been a major challenge this year, like, you know, changing a lot of information to take in for all, for the accounting profession, for the client, I mean, for the media, even for the ATO as well. So,
and for us.
Correct. Yeah. And the payroll tables have changed, like, you know, everything. Yeah. It was really challenging from that perspective.
Yeah. I'm sure the rest of the accounting profession will agree with you there.
Definitely. I think legislative and the budget and all these sort of things really, I think it's also, I don't think the client necessarily appreciates how much information is flowing through. And, you know, between what comes from an announcement from the government to what's in the legislation to what we can actually say is very different. And I think it's a really good point you mentioned because, you know, you have clients ringing up, Bob, I saw this in the newspaper. Yeah. But the legislation says X, Y, Z, or this has changed or that changed. So I think, yeah, I think, you know, from an accountant's perspective and in the industry, we understand what is involved between what's an announcement and what's in legislation. But from a client perspective, I think it has been that challenge of really explaining to them what the end goal has to be rather than what they hear and what they think and what they extrapolate.
Cool. Now, as finalists for the 30 Under 30 Awards, I guess I have to ask this, but what is some advice that you would offer to other young accountants out there listening in today? Shija, do you want to go first on this one?
I would say, like, you know, if you're really passionate about numbers and accounting, then go for it. Like, you know, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, then, like, you know, there's nothing in it. There's no future in it. But, like, I would say pursue accounting, like, if we are into the numbers. Like, I have been always passionate about accounting. So I don't feel like I'm doing a job. Like, you know, I'm really passionate. So just pursue your passion. That's what I want to say to young accountants.
Ellie, what advice would you give to other budding accountants?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a ground up approach type of person. I think a solid foundation is necessary. So, you know, every time I correct one of my staff members, it's because I made the same mistake, you know, sort of thing. So I think a real ground up approach and, you know, starting with the most basic things and just nailing the foundations and the basics, you know, and once you have a solid foundation, you can grow from there and really, you know, come into your specialties and your understanding. But if you're skipping or taking shortcuts, you're just not going to get that solid foundation that you need. I think what's really important as well is what maybe I would define as a curious mind. Ask questions, you know, don't copy last year's work. Don't do it because he told me or he told me. Really just think about what you're doing. Don't do it on a process. Don't do it automatically or muscle memory. Think, you know, use your mind. You know, we all got a gift, use it. So just that really curious mind. I think also don't be afraid. I mean, in the back of that, don't be scared to fail. Don't be scared to ask the question and be knocked back. You know, if you don't ask it, you know, you won't get anywhere. So really just invest in yourself, believe in yourself and get to that level. And then last one is just maybe just take a holistic approach. You know, my wife jokingly says that all I do all day is fill out forms. You know, so I think the tax industry is a lot more than that. And so, you know, it's going beyond just doing a tax return. It's building that relationship, helping them any way we can, and really just look at it as a more holistic view than just going, all I have to do is fill out this form.
So what are your goals for the coming 12 months? What are you really keen to achieve?
I'll say both personally and business-wise. Personally, I'm pursuing my CTA. So my goal is to complete that like in the next 6 months or so. Business-wise, like, you know, we have really grown in the last 12 months. Now the firm has a headcount of 6 or 7 employees. So we are looking to take more SME clients, like, you know, we want to assist them from a compliance perspective. So I think this is a good time to do that, like before June 2021. Like now everyone, like, you know, this is really hot in their minds. Like, you know, you have to be compliance based, like, you know, you have to do your tax, your bookkeeping, everything on time. So I would say just to help clients be there, like, you know, to do everything on time. So that's my goal, like personally and business-wise.
Ellie?
Yeah, I mean, my goal really is, in a way, simple, is not to be left behind by the ever-evolving fast pace that this industry is changing in. I want to adapt. I don't want to be a dinosaur. So, you know, just keep on that front line of things and growing both personally and also professionally. And I think one of the core things to this is, you know, understanding the clients, asking the right type of questions and building a rapport. I mean, to that effect, our firm issued what's called a Pitcher Partners Business Radar. And so what they did was they took a independent market research of the mid-market and just said, you know, what makes this market tick and what keeps them up at night and what can we do more than that? So I think that report was really what we see as business. And then it's making that personal. It's going, again, beyond the tax return, it's going, what are the right questions we need to ask you to make everything better? You know, and if we don't ask the right questions, then we just get a very basic response and it gets ignored. But I have a client who, just to go back to the SDP point that was mentioned, that who has to ring me every month for a verification code, for whatever reason that this setup is. But what that's allowed me to do is I have a 5-minute chat with him every 30 days. How are you going? What's different this month? How's COVID affecting you? How's your staff levels? And it's been a really positive experience that I could just get that FaceTime with him and he has to call me. So it's not even I'm chasing him. And it's just been a really, really important step in our relationship and our rapport. And off the back of that, there's so much more we can do and help for him. And I think that's also the other thing. There's a lot of opportunities out there. You know, there's a lot of specialties within this firm and across all accounting firms. And we can go beyond the tax return. There's so much more we can actually achieve. But if you don't ask the right questions, then we won't be able to offer those really amazing services. So I think, you know, it's all really just taking this holistic approach, changing with the times as NYB and Xero and other softwares become more popular, more powerful. They're making us to a certain extent redundant. So we've got to evolve from that and we've got to go enough about the data entry. How are we analyzing this? How are we helping the businesses? How are we making them achieve what they want to achieve and help the time poor customers really less worry about the numbers and just do what they're passionate about doing and leaving what we're passionate about to us. So I think it's, yeah, really about asking the right questions, understanding the market and growing and adapting to it.
It sounds like you're really looking to evolve into that trusted advisor space, which is what we're hearing from our customer a lot. Like, how can we get that business coaching, business mentoring, someone who can work with us side by side? So that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's funny you say the word business advisor because we, you know, we've chucked it around, like trusted advisor. We've been chucking that term around a lot around within the firm. And it's something we're really striving to be in exactly that. It's like, who do they turn to in this? And I think COVID is a good example because if we didn't receive a call from the client during COVID, it means we don't have that spot because there's so much uncertainty out there that we expect them to turn to us and there's so much we can. So I think it's a really good term. And I think exactly right. Moving as technologies, you know, really coming to fruition and really excelling, that's what we've become. We've become advisors rather than what traditionally was just pulling some numbers and presenting them.
That's correct. And also this year, like, you know, we don't have to chase clients. Clients are chasing us.
Yep.
Got a captive audience there.
Yeah.
100%. And thank you so much for everyone for joining us today. That's the end of the episode, unfortunately. But congratulations for making it as the finalist this year. And I wish you all the very best for the 30 Under 30 Awards. And thank you all for joining us on this special episode of the Accountants Daily 30 Under 30 Awards Finalist Showcase. We'll be bringing you more of this over the coming weeks in the build-up to the awards. For more information, please visit accountantsdaily.com.au and feel free to get in touch with me at editor@accountantsdaily.com.au. Thanks again. I'll catch you next time.